You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited to join us today. Before I jump into the podcast, go over and leave a five-star review. We really love the reviews. Leave some comments. I read all of them, and we would really appreciate that. But before we get started, I would definitely want to give a big shout-out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. Mention Coach Unplugged, you get $450 off, and you'll get the best customer service you'll ever expect. Just mention Coach Collins, and they'll take really good care of you. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's something... You know, when I started teachhoops.com, it was what I would have wanted as a young coach before, you know, all the state championships and all the nationally ranked teams that I've coached. And not to brag, just to kind of tell kind of my journey, I would have killed for this stuff because it would have made my life so much easier, a little bit of everything that you need to become a better basketball coach. And we are the only people out there that offer 14-day free trial because we believe in it so much. Follow the roadmap, work on your craft, and you get me, one-on-one mentoring. So I can't imagine anything better than that. I don't know. Anyway, go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast.
There we go.
I'm getting there. Sorry.
No worries.
Sorry. Thank you for taking some time.
No worries. I just got done with practice. It worked out perfect, actually. I'm going to go home and watch the Badger game when we get done. So
okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping this won't be too much of your time.
No worries.
Anyways, how are you doing? I don't want to.
Excellent. No.
Be rude.
It's that time of year. My son texted me to check on me. He goes, he always knows what February's like. You know,
right
before tournament time. It's always chaotic.
So. You seem to have like endless energy. How do you?
I do. Yes. I've been referred to as the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
I've slowed a little bit with age, but mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of energy. It's good. I don't know what I'm going to do when I retire in a couple of years. I'm going to have to come up with
it. You are going to retire?
I am from teaching, I think. I think so. 35 years of teaching.
Wow. So how old are you? Do you mind me asking?
57.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm 52, and I'm considering retiring in 3 years. Yeah, 55.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Anyway, we'll
see. It's going to be hard to pull the trigger because, like,
yeah,
there's always another group coming through, and it's like, oh,
you better have something to do.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, okay, so yeah, I've written some notes here. So I'm coaching my daughter's 7th/8th grade team, girls team. This is a parochial league. You know, she plays at her private school. It's a Catholic school. This is my first time coaching girls. So I've coached my son's teams for years.
Yep.
So I've always been a believer in working in, I've always worked with kind of younger kids.
Yep.
And getting them, you know, the skills, the fundamentals. I really enjoy watching kids who've never played before, like, come alive and like the game. And I've had a lot of success in that.
Yep.
You know, I've had like a few championships with my son's teams, but so girls' team is different, a lot different. So that's why I'm trying to get some advice from it. I don't know if you have ever coached girls or not.
I have. I've coached my daughter's team. So okay. It's hard because basketball is actually going down in girls right now and volleyball is going up. It's
Exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, a lot of my team plays volleyball and they choose that over basketball.
They always do.
Skip practice.
So my theory, and again, I'm a statistician by trade, is I think they let, first of all, there's easier, and I coached boys volleyball for 7 years, my son.
Oh, did you?
Coming up, yep, in high school. We have boys volleyball in our high school. So there's a couple of things with volleyball that basketball doesn't have, in the sense that you can put people in specific positions and play them, like libero. You can be at the center. You can be in middle. Anyway, so that's one. And I think especially with on the girls' side, I see there's really a community with volleyball. Like it's a very, like, and there's not that as much in a basketball game.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is when I was coaching it, I had to do a lot more off-court stuff with them to try to build some of that community that, just go watch a volleyball match and then watch a basketball game. It's at the same age level. I mean, it's crazy. You know, they're circling and they're clapping after every play in volleyball.
Yeah. I saw my daughters play, you know, a lot of these same girls played volleyball together for the school. Right. And and you know, probably five girls didn't even come out for this team.
Right.
So I've got nine girls. I really like them. They're fun. They listen well. But a majority of them this is the first time they've even ever played basketball.
Right.
And my daughter has played, she plays club basketball. She's pretty good.
Okay.
And then I have like one other girl who is a decent ball handler, but you know, she can't hit the side of a barn when she shoots.
Well, the hard part is, If you play teams that have, my guessing is they're going to pressure you. They're going to try to turn you over. They're going to play fast pace.
Yeah. So what happened to us was we were put, there's like this preseason seeding thing. There was like 10 teams and they put us into three divisions. And so our division had three teams and we won both of our first two games.
Right.
And so we played the top team in each of the other two divisions. We got blown away by those two teams. But they still put us in the top division.
Right.
And last night we had a game and they did a 1-3-1 half court trapping
defense. Yeah. 1-3-1. It's basically 1-3-1 can be run in the half court. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my girls just couldn't figure out how to beat that. Like they would just, no matter where we would put the ball, they were just quicker. And we, you know, I've been working on pivoting and getting the ball above the head and trying to find the, you know, cutting and getting open. But, you know, I don't have any set plays. My assistant coach is like, you know, maybe we should have some set plays. I said that usually in my experience with girls that don't, or players that don't have a lot of skills, that goes nowhere.
It's hard to, there's a few things you could do against a 1-3-1, but it's hard to do. That you kind of got to be able to shoot and you got to be able to make them pay a little bit. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have a couple sets just so they get used to it. I think it's a good, from a teacher standpoint.
Any suggestion what kind of set plays?
So against the 1-3-1 you're talking about?
Or just in general. Yeah.
Well, I would first of all try to isolate your daughter probably if she's the best player.
Yeah, that's what we've been trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, so – you know, do something where you screen away and get her the ball where she can just create on her strong side. I'm assuming she's right-handed. So on the right side of the court, a basic screen and clear out kind of play would be, at that age level, would be perfect.
We've been doing that,
Yeah. So anything like that you can create her moving downhill is what you want.
Yeah.
How long is the season?
We have like a month left, so we probably have like 7 practices maybe.
Okay.
To go. And I found that the girls, I'm not doing a good job communicating. Like they'll look at me, I'll have my thing and I'll say, okay, I want you here. Wait, who's in there? You know, so like, right. I don't think I'm doing good because I don't have plays. I don't have, so I'm just telling them, okay, go here. Let's try to pass the ball here. I feel like I need a reset in my approach and I'm just looking for some advice on how can I make this clear to them? Where to go?
I would simplify.
Yeah.
Simplify. I have found from someone that's even done a really long time, the drawing stuff is hard. Mm-hmm. So I still do it. I use magnets with their names on them because it's easier to move. So
that's a good idea.
They can see, they look for their, they know where their magnet is kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be an easier move for them.
Where do you get something like that?
Yep. And if you like Corny Board hat, I mean, I'll send you a link. I got a couple places that I buy them. I just bought one recently. I gotta look the link up.
Thank you.
But what I do too is I'll have plays that I'll put. I sometimes use an 8.5 by 11, but I also have. Anyway, I have so the 8.5 by 11 is fine, where you actually have the play diagrammed up, and then you put it on the board. And then you put the magnets on top of it, and then they can kind of see. I have actually clear transparencies from the old days when people used to use overheads. And I have them drawn on there with permanent, so it's actually clear. But again, when you're doing that stuff, it's very stressful for them and for you, and I want to de-stress it. So that's where those kind of things. It's hard because they're in 7th and 8th grade and you only got them a handful of times.
Yeah.
But you want to get them doing is you want them walking through it. You want them doing it live. You want them trying to tell you how to do it. Like, I don't know your girls and I don't know all their learning modes. Some kids are more like, and some will actually take it. If you hand it to them and say, here's our play. They can look at it and go, okay, here's my play. So everyone learns differently. I tend to be more tactile. I need to kind of do it. So that's just
me.
Like this morning, we played last night, and I'm in this morning, you know, literally on my whiteboard, moving things around, trying to come up with some new out-of-bounds plays for tournament. Me doing that on a piece of paper is not as effective as me doing it with the pieces and moving. So everyone's a little different. But that's what you got to – if you're trying to teach them – those things, that's what you want to definitely do. But I would keep it simple, like one or two things, like here's our side out of bounds, here's our underneath out of bounds, here's our play, like, and then just because again, you don't have them 5 days a week, you have them,
you know, maybe your answer to me is just like you're don't have too high expectations, but the frustrating thing is that
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Like whatever I do, they're just so slow to the ball. And when they get the ball, it's just like, you know, that they don't have the quickness and the agility.
Because they haven't played enough. My guess is your daughter doesn't have that problem.
No, not at all.
So it is.
So what do I do? What do I concentrate on practice maybe? Or what should I just be focusing on fundamentals constantly. Yep,
I would focus on dribbling. So you said seventh and eighth, right? Yeah, seventh. Yes. So I'd work on dribbling. I'd work on passing. I'd work on small-sided games and decision-making.
Yeah.
That stuff is all can be fun, and they can do it too. You want those little synapses. The problem is they just haven't played enough. I mean, my game last night, I had three sophomores on the court at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the best thing about a sophomore is they become a junior. Like,
yeah.
they played basketball since they could probably walk, but they haven't experienced it. Yeah. Like, they just don't know. Like, I've coached 700 basketball games, but they just don't know. So you want to put them in those situations where they're playing one-on-one, two-on-two, you know, small-sided things where they can just – because I was telling my players this the other day. It's like I said, we're not football players. We're basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
Football players get rest between plays and get, you know, do one or two things. You do one or two things in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, like, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Constant. Basketball is like, it's not baseball. It's like basketball is like, and the kids that the standard deviation between kids that have played and haven't played is so big.
It's crazy.
It's a Grand Canyon. It's a Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, on one offensive possession, there's probably 200 decisions made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. Offense, defense, where do I cut? What do I do? Where do I move? Mm-hmm. Do I move here? Like, from all 10 players, there's probably a couple hundred decisions being made.
And I can see the girls looking at me, like, trying to figure it out. They want to do well.
But the problem is it needs to be almost where they don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I could shoot a free throw with my eyes closed right now, and I don't need to think about it because I played mm-hmm. in high school and college, and mm-hmm. I can close it. I just know what it feels. I've shot so many, it's not, and I'm old. Mm-hmm. Like,
second nature.
It's just set in here. Well, they're trying. Yeah, your daughter's probably set with kind of knowing what to do, and how
mm-hmm. and
the girls that haven't don't. So the more mm-hmm. situations in practice you can put them where they have to make decisions. Like,
okay,
they have to rebound. They have, like, if you play 2-on-2, you can't hide. You have to make a decision. Are you going to box out? Are you going to rebound? Where are you going to stand? With 9 girls, you had said you had 9 on the team?
Yeah, but I'll usually get 5 or 6 to show up to a practice.
Okay, so I do a lot of 3-on-3. A lot of 3-on-3.
That's what we do. Yeah,
we
do.
A lot of 3-on-3. And a lot of, like, no dribbles, one dribble. Ball's got to go inside. Just make them mm-hmm. make different mm-hmm. decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the no dribble is if I'm playing your team and I'm better than you, I am going to press you. I am going to want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Law of large numbers. I want more possessions if I'm better than you. So mm-hmm. better teams tend to do fast break, press, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you have to teach the girls what that feels like. And the closest you can get is kind of the no dribble thing.
Because we do that. I'll have them do, like, okay, you got to make 5 passes before you can start dribbling.
Right.
And then
tell the defense to get up on them.
Yeah.
You know, pressure them, make them feel what it's like when they can't move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have been doing a lot of that. And so I think you're kind of telling me I'm doing a lot of the right things. Except I like this magnets with the names on them.
Yes.
That might help in the games.
It will help a lot in the games.
Okay.
I'll find that and send it
to you. I can probably make my own if I think about it.
Yes, yes. And the magnets are super cheap. Like, and I tend to buy, they sell little magnets. I would try to buy the ones that more look like a quarter.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just because it's a little bit easier to write names on.
Yeah, so you could just go to, like, a craft store and
find
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just as long as they're circular, that tends to be the biggest issue. You could probably buy them on Amazon today, and they'd probably be there tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that kind of craft store, something like that.
Okay.
And then they know their names on top of it. It's just easier for them.
Okay. And And if I were to implement a play for this kind of team, you already said, like, try to isolate Andrea.
So a couple of questions before I answer that. Do they have a hard time entering the ball on the wing?
Entering the ball on the wing. What do you mean?
So you bring the ball up Are you getting pressured a lot where you can't even pass it to somebody that the person dribbling it up has problems?
No, no, we can get by that. What'll happen is once we make one pass to the wing, trap, especially like last night on the 1-3-1 to Trapper, and
yep. So you want to sneak the person right behind that.
Say it again.
So whoever is leaving to go trap, they should sneak right behind. You should teach them to sneak behind.
Oh, I like that. Okay,
so do a little drill on that where they get trapped and then they sneak. Mm-hmm. They sneak right behind because they'll be wide open.
I love that.
And I would give some lessons about the girls will love this because my boys even love it. So you don't want the ball in Statue of Liberty, which is above the head. You don't want the ball pregnant, which is right here in the middle. And you don't want the ball giving birth. Those are bad places. And if you say that, they'll remember it. Statue of Liberty, pregnant, giving birth.
Okay, where do you want? You want triple threat. You
want the ball up here on your shoulder.
Okay.
3 points of touch. Yep, here in your chest. So I always give the lesson like this. So I'll do this and say, hit the ball, you know, have one of the kids do it and say, put the ball out here. And try to whack it away, and they'll be able to do it, right? Because you can't. It's so far away from your body, or up here. Okay, so then I put it next to the. I have a girl put it next to her chest, and you can't because it's that third point of contact. 1, 2, 3. You always want 3 points of contact.
What I've found is that then they just tie it up.
They do.
My girls are so slow.
And you know what? You'd rather have them tie it up because then they won't score a layup in the other direction.
Okay.
So I always tell my boys, eat the ball. I'd rather have you eat it than throw it away. Because that way we can get back and play defense. If you throw it away, they're going to score, and that's guessing what happened.
That's a good idea. Now, I've been teaching them to actually put the ball above their head to kind of throw over.
Want it in here.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And then you want to break a window. So we talk about the windows. There's two windows here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two windows at the hip. And there's a window above the head.
Okay, let me draw this. Hold on.
So we always say break a window, pass through a different window. So you break the right window, then you go through the left window.
If I'm playing
defense, so I always tell them to break a low window and then go through a high window. Because if I'm playing defense, it's virtually impossible for me to get my hands up here. So if you get the ball and go right next to this head, like that, it's always there. And above the head's even harder. You fake here and you go above, it will be open.
So break below the shoulders.
Break in. These are the windows here.
Yeah.
And then you want to go to these windows.
Yeah. I like
that. And then, we'll practice it. We'll just have a person stand there. I'll stand there and I'll say, break a window. And I teach them how to go right by the ear. And it'll always be open.
Ooh, I love that.
You got to fake like you're going down and then go up.
Mm-hmm.
Go up. Go up, go up, go up, down, over.
So by breaking the way you say, like the ball actually, like you try, you're actually.
Yeah, I'm literally like moving the ball around.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So if I'm standing, I don't know if I can do this, but if I'm standing here, I'm breaking a window like this. But, I want them to move. And then the other thing with pressure, as they're coming to trap you, that's when you should be getting rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ideally. Yeah. The problem probably with a seventh and eighth grade boy or girl is they wait till they get trapped.
Yes.
They feel smothered and it's almost too late. As they're coming, the person needs to be cutting. That's the problem.
Yes.
And if they're cutting, then they're going to be open.
Okay. So we have to practice that though. Set up a drill where.
Yeah. At half court, just have two people coming, you can't dribble, trap, and then have people just cutting behind so they know what it looks like to see.
Okay, I'm going to think that through. Yeah, we have practice tonight. I'm going to think that through.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Yes.
And then we, yeah, maybe I'll have the girls over for pizza afterward, like you were saying, get some camaraderie.
Oh, they'd love that stuff. Put Taylor Swift's Era Tour on. They'll love
it. Oh,
that.
My God.
I actually quoted Taylor Swift yesterday. What was it, in a timeout? I was saying something about like something about winning or something. She's a winner. She is a winner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but the boys laughed. I got them to laugh. So it was a tense point of the game. But no, I'm telling you, they remember that stuff more than the games. And if like all of a sudden, if it's like they're playing, yeah, they'll love that.
Holy if God. I can get them to do, yeah, cut and pass before the trap happens. That's the key. And I even see it like on the inbound plays. You'll see it open and the girl looks, but she doesn't pass.
Throw it. But the problem is, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, is they don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
They haven't experienced it.
So maybe I have to practice that as well.
Like last night, my sophomores were turning the ball over because we were getting pressured. We had 9 or 10 turnovers. They probably had 7 of them. My juniors and seniors knew that, okay, you're going to trap us. We're going to wait and boop, 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 dunk kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they just don't, they haven't experienced that feeling of, it's panic, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It is literally panic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me check my notes here.
Let me know how practice goes too, and I'll send you some stuff.
Okay, I will do that.
Let me know. Shoot me off an email. I'm around most of tomorrow too, so send me an email and let me know, and I can.
Which email do I send it to?
Send it to. I'll give you my personal one.
Okay.
Because my other one goes through Amy. It is S.T. Collins. 1966@gmail.com.
Okay.
Send that right to me and I'll respond right back to you.
ST Collins 1966. Okay.
Yep. Perfect.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Have a good one.
Hey everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify, we love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.